Because the persecuted church, I know that the chief thing that they would like from us is our prayers. Prayer is so important. So take advantage of those resources. And if I remember years ago, I'm not sure if it's exactly the same today, but you can find out information online about what's going on in the persecuted world. Persecution.com, I think, was something that was used before. But of course, Voice of the Martyrs, they probably have a lot of different leads on how you can support people with action packs, with sending Bibles to restricted areas, with prayers or a letter you can write to somebody who's in prison. Not saying everybody needs to do the same thing, but maybe you'll find something that's your unique thing to do. Years ago, for some reason, maybe because I raised daughters, I remember there was a lady named Leah Sherrybu, and there was like one time that I learned about her, and another time I heard some information about her, but I haven't heard anything since. So I don't know if she's still alive even on this earth. But I pray for Jesus to bless her, if she is, and I'm sure she's with him if she's not upon this earth. But she was one of the girls in Nigeria who was kidnapped by a Muslim extremist, and she was not released, as far as I recall, because she did not renounce her faith. So I pray for Leah once in a while. As a father of daughters, I guess that touched my heart. So I'm just asking you to try to find something that touches your heart, that you can pray for the persecuted church more than just one day out of the year. Now we're going to turn to God's holy word. You saw how like the highlight of it was just bringing out the word of God in the midst of that testimony that we just heard. I try to be purposeful in the things that I do, the things that I plan, the things that I said. And I hope that you enjoy having, I know I can be annoying sometimes. I'm not disagreeing with that. I annoy myself frequently. But I hope you appreciate having a pastor who cares about the details. Because I've been thinking and praying about these things and thinking about with so many, if you think about sheep, there's so many wolves and so many diseases out there. Would you rather have a shepherd who cares about the detail, or is there a shepherd who doesn't care about the details? Because when it says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me," I think about a book with Philip Keller I read one time, which was about like how he took that staff and he saw a snake and BAM! Snake gone. Just because, sorry Jeremy, but took the snake, took that staff and just whacked that snake and just took care of it. And I think about the rod and I think about the shepherd. As each sheep comes by, he's counting them. 1, 2, 3. Making sure they're going in the right pen. Making sure there's none missing. Because if there's one missing, what's he going to do? He's going to leave the 90, put the 99 there, and then he's going to go search for the one, right? So he puts down the rod, one after another. And he looks into their eyes to make sure. I do this with my dog sometimes. I found 2 ticks on her ear, It's like long period. And so I'm kind of like doing stuff. And you know how I find those things? It's because every once in a while I just look at my dog in the face and I put my fingers around her nose. And I send my fingers around her ears and her nose and her eyes. And she just like looks like she's like, "This is great. I love this attention. This is wonderful." And she just loves it. And I'm feeling her. And then I feel there's something wrong. Something wrong. There's a bug that's attacking and sucking the lifeblood out of my dog, threatening her with disease. So I try to take care of it and I get rid of that. And I say, "Lisa, get the tweezers, and the tape," or whatever. I don't know. You have your own rituals when you take care of eliminating ticks. So anyway, so when we come to church life, the scripture is the high point of everything. John Piper said one time at a conference I heard, he said he's going to read the scripture and then it's all downhill from there. And he's just kind of like tongue-in-cheek laughing about himself a little bit too, but reading the scripture is just the high point of the service. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the works of his hands, day to day pours forth speech." And it goes on to describe about how we see the beauty of the world around us. And how many times have you seen like a beautiful sunset and you say, the heavens are telling of the glory of God. You just see the beauty of God and you're awestruck by it. You're just amazed by it. Where Evelyn shows us these little, what? Oh, the sun rising. Yeah, the sun rising. I love seeing the sun rising. It's my favorite part of the day. And in fact, I took a walk this morning, a 3-mile walk to the rail trail. And my dog was with me and she stopped twice when we were getting over to the place where we heard, or we think we saw a bear run across the trail the other day. And so I was like, you smell something? All right. Maybe you know more than I do. Let's go back. And so we turned around and went back. But I love the early morning. It's so quiet, and I love the sun coming out. And I figured my dog probably knows more than I do about this because her nose is a little bit better than mine. So we turned back, and I took her advice. But I love being out in the wilderness and out in the wild. And I told you before, it's hard to take a walk with my wife because it's always a longer walk than I intended to be. Because she's always taking pictures all along the way, seeing the things that God has created. And I see the intricacy of it all, and it's beautiful. And the snowfall covers the stuff that we do, and it almost seems like the whole canvas is just God's work when it comes to wintertime too. So I love the natural world, and Romans chapter 1 talks about how... It talks about, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So we see things about God's eternal power and divine nature by what he's created. Like you see something about the artist by looking at what he's created. Now, you wouldn't go up and hug a painting and kiss the painting if you love the artist. But you know something about the artist. If you see something by Van Gogh, Vincent Van Gogh, you see some beauty there, but you also see something that's a little bit different. And Van Gogh was a little bit different. So you can tell things about the artist, but when you see God's artistry, you just say, you see what, and you say what Elaine says, like, glory be to God, right? To God be the glory. Because you see the intricacy of like a passion flower, and you're like, why did he put so much detail in that? In the ark, I remember we looked at the insects and was like, why does this insect have this marking? Well, this is to be camouflaged. This is to be this. This is to be this. And there's some places where it's like, why does this look like this? We don't know. We think God's just showing off. And God's the only one who can show off because he's not prideful, because everything, he deserves the praise and the glory. There are some things that God does and you're thinking, why does he do that? Just because he's God and he's trying to show you something, that he's intricate and he cares about the details and he cares about the big things. And I know you think, why are we going to talk about the persecuted church? But you know, isn't that a comforting message to the people who are locked in a prison or in a small hot box over somewhere in the darkest Africa or Malaysia or someplace, a Christian who's suffering? Isn't it wonderful to know that God cares about the small things, but also has the majestic, gracious, great, grandiose power to break open the cells and save somebody? So these are important things. All that being to say is that the picture on the bulletin is always a beautiful thing to me. And I think because it's like, it's my intention that it always be like something entirely that God made. We don't see man, we don't see man-made stuff. We just see what God did, because it's the first part of Psalm 19. It's Romans chapter 1. It's God's intricacy and majesty and glory shining through there. And then we get to the primary way that we get to know God. Because isn't it true that a lot of people see the beauty of the world or the majesty of a thunderstorm, and they start wondering about God and thinking about God? When you think about the power that is in a lightning bolt, you know, it makes you think about God. But when you have those questions, you need to turn to Scripture and find out what the Scripture says. Because I think it's in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that's like, it says, Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing. What do we need to hear? We need to hear the word of Christ. We need to hear the word of God. How are we going to hear unless somebody speaks to them? And the Bible even says it's through the folly of preaching that people get saved. It's like, wow. I mean, the Bible at the same time says it's kind of like it's a light thing, but it's a serious thing. So serious, the word of God, and we speak it out to each other. So I told you I felt like compelled to share with one of my relatives this week. And I hope you feel compelled to share the word of God with people too, because the word of God is very powerful. In fact, so very powerful, it was like I was thinking, like, I wasn't sure why I picked the scriptures for this Sunday. And then this morning when I woke up, and I got up at 5 o'clock, which was technically 4 o'clock now, but, and I just got up and I thought about these things, that this is how God wants us to pray for the persecuted church today, because of his scripture and what he says in his scripture. Because this is like the primary way that God reaches us, through the scripture, through his word. That's the way he saves us. He gets us interested by all the things he's created and the things that you can see with your eyes, but it's by the word of Christ. He's a speaking God. We believe God spoke the word and created the world in 6 days. He spoke it and it was. I think the Latin is like ex nihilo, out of nothing. He just spoke it and it was. And that's how he creates faith in a heart. He speaks it and it is. And the Holy Spirit draws somebody along. But you need to speak it. And we're speaking the word today and then we're going to pray. Okay? Jeremiah 36, verse 16 to 32. When they heard all the words, they turned one to another in fear. And they said to Baruch, "We must report all these words to the king." Then they asked Baruch, "Tell us, please, how did you write all these words? Was it at his dictation?" Baruch answered, "He dictated all these words to me while I wrote them with ink on the scroll." Then the officials said to Baruch, "Go and hide, you and Jeremiah, and let no one know where you are." So they went into the court to the king, having put the scroll in the chamber of Elishama the secretary. And they reported all the words to the king. Then the king sent Jehudi to get the scroll, and he took it from the chamber of Elishama the secretary, and Jehudi read it to the king and all the officials who stood beside the king. It was the 9th month, and the king was sitting in the winter house, and there was a fire burning in the fire pot before him. As Jehudi read 3 or 4 columns, the king would cut them off with a knife and throw them into the fire in the fire pot, until the entire scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the fire pot. Yet neither the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words was afraid, nor did they tear their garments. Just pause there a second. When that's said, if you would remember the other things that happened before this time, when they found the book of the law that was hidden in the temple, it was a different response when Josiah and his people found the book of the law. They were like the crowd that would rip their garments and be like, "We have the word of the Lord and we've been ignoring it." They're doing the opposite as far as repentance goes here. So listen, yet neither the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words was afraid, nor did they tear their garments. Even when Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah urged the king not to burn the scroll, he would not listen to them. And the king commanded Jeremiah, the king's son, and Seraiah, the son of Azrael, And Shelemiah the son of Abdeel to seize Baruch the secretary and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Now after the king had burned the scroll with the words that Baruch wrote at Jeremiah's dictation, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, take another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned. And concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, you shall say, thus says the Lord, you have burned this scroll, saying, why have you written in it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and will cut off from it man and beast? Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah. He shall have none to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out to the heat by day and the frost by night, and I will punish him and his offspring and his servants for their iniquity. I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the people of Judah all the disaster that I have pronounced against them. But they would not hear. Then Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote on it at the dictation of Jeremiah all the words of the scroll that Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and many similar words were added to them. So when I woke this morning, I believed this was the prayer pattern for today. I was thinking, why were these scriptures chosen? Because obviously they're about persecution. But we need to pray for people in countries. We've taken so much for granted. You have five Bibles in your shelf, and maybe you hardly touch them. There's people who are in prison. There's people who are in concentration camps. People who are being tortured because maybe they're found with a page of the Bible. I remember reading a story about a person who was like, he found that somebody was using the Bible pages as toilet paper, and then he washed them off and read them and treasured them. That somebody else was treating them like that, but they treasured them after they cleaned them off. There's people around the world who would love to have Bibles. You remember when the Haids came here? How desperate people are in certain countries. That they can't find pastors, people who are equipped. They give out a pastor who's actually read the Bible, and they don't even have copies of the Bible, enough of them to go around. So we need to pray for Bibles to get into their hands, for Bibles to get into their hearts, and we need to pray that somehow Bibles can get into countries where it's illegal to have them, where it's restricted for people to have them. We need to pray that people who are in prison, do you imagine the gold it is when a person who is in prison, half starved, feeling forgotten, when all of a sudden somehow they get a Bible, a few words of scripture, some sustenance, that you treasure more than physical bread. We need to pray for people to get Bibles in their hands who are being persecuted in countries. We need to pray for people who are even the aggressors to get Bibles in their hands so that they might be saved. For the guerrillas in Colombia to get Bibles in their hands so that they might be saved. For the person who's the higher up in the Chinese aristocracy who are trying to monitor their people with 700 million cameras that are informing of every activity outside of churches. We need to get Bibles in the hands of the people who are even trying to cause the problems. But especially we need to get the Bibles into the hands of the people who are just, who they know it's their lifeblood, and they just need to hear a word of hope. So first prayer. Is there a volunteer, Lisa or John, could you take that mic? Is there a volunteer for somebody to pray for the scriptures to get, for like the God's word would not be stopped. Just like this King Zedekiah, this is Jehoiakim. He was such a prideful king. And this king is burning pieces of the Bible, burning it as it's being read, showing his utter disregard for the word of God. He's not even waiting until it's all read and then burning it. He's burning it piece by piece, showing nonchalantly that he doesn't even care. And certainly, there are some churches who do that these days too. Oh, we don't listen to the Old Testament anymore. Well, the Old Testament is just, it's about Jesus too. When Jesus is speaking on the road to Emmaus, John, though I got on a tangent. But Jesus, when he's on the road to Emmaus, and he's talking to those guys on the road to Emmaus, and he's showing them through the scriptures all about himself. What's he saying? Hey, guys on the road to Emmaus, let me show you some stuff that Paul's going to write in Philippians and something from Matthew. No! He's going to the Old Testament and saying, let me show you from the Jesus book, which is the Old Testament. But there's some churches who actually, in a sense, burn part of the scroll. We should treasure it more. Maybe that's part of the prayer too. But we need to make sure that the Bible is, well, just that it goes forth and gets into the hands of the people to save them and to preserve them and to make them strong and steadfast in the midst of tough situations. I need a volunteer who's going to pray Bible stuff. Tom. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Tom.
Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that here in this country we have the opportunity to get your word, and a lot of times we don't. And Lord, there are many, many people around the world, Lord, who would just love to have your word that they can read. And they're in very bad places, Lord, that it's prohibited, and we pray, Lord, that you will just somehow that they will be able to get your word, and those who are over them who are causing the issues, Lord, that they will get your word also, and that your Holy Spirit will convict them, and that they will realize, Lord, that they need you as Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, again for the word we have, and just thank you so much, Lord, for your word, and help us, Lord, to follow it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Jeremiah 37, 14 to 21. And Jeremiah said, it is a lie. I am not deserting to the Chaldeans. But Elijah would not listen to him, and seized Jeremiah and brought him to the officials. And the officials were enraged at Jeremiah, and they beat him and imprisoned him in the house of Jonathan the secretary, for it had been made a prison. When Jeremiah had come to the dungeon cells and remained there many days, King Zedekiah sent for him and received him. The king questioned him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah said, there is. Then he said, you shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Jeremiah also said to King Zedekiah, what wrong have I done to you or your servants or this people that you have put me in prison? Where are your prophets who prophesied to you, saying the king of Babylon will not come against you and against this land? Now hear, please, O my lord the king, let my humble plea come before you, and do not send me back to the house of Jonathan the secretary, lest I die there. So King Zedekiah gave orders, and they committed Jeremiah to the court of the guard. And a loaf of bread was given him daily from the baker's street until all the bread of the city was gone. So Jeremiah remained in the court of the guard. So, okay, this is a different king. It jumps ahead in the next chapter to a different king. This is Zedekiah. Jehoiakim has been removed. Jehoiachin, who is also known as Coniah or Jeconiah, he only reigned 3 months, but then Zedekiah came to be the king, and Zedekiah, placed there, supposed to be some vassal of Babylon, he is rebelling against Babylon. He was supposed to take his punishment, and other kings in this area were wicked. Zedekiah, even more so than wicked, is probably he's weak. Because he listens to Jeremiah. He likes to listen to Jeremiah. He wants to know the word of the Lord, but he doesn't want to turn against his advisors and counselors and princes and whoever else is advising him. I don't know who it is, but his nobles, let's just say. I'm not sure if it's princes exactly, but he doesn't want to turn against the people who are the power mongers around him. When I think about him, it almost reminds me of the person who beheaded John the Baptist, who liked to listen to John, but he also wanted to, he also didn't like John. It's like he liked him, but he didn't like him, and then his wife Herodias and all that mess and everything. So Zedekiah's reign was a big mess too. A big mess. So yeah, he's wicked, but he's maybe even more so weak. But you see, Jeremiah is persecuted, he's beaten, he's suffering in a prison. He talks to the king. And the king knows that he wants Jeremiah around. He wants to know what the word of the Lord is, even if he doesn't follow it. How many people in churches today, they want to know what the Lord, where the Lord is, but they don't follow it. They want to know what the word of the Lord is, but they don't follow it. If I can find it. I did find it. Sometimes I think about myself as Ezekiel when I think of myself as a pastor. Alright? And now, it talks about a beautiful voice in here. I'm not trying to be prideful or anything like that, because if you listen to the flash drive, you'll hear some goofy things I do in there. Like, I hold out a note twice, really long time, and then my voice cracks and I sound like a teenager, and it's kind of a goofy thing. So, I know it's like, people like to listen to Lisa singing better than they like to listen to me. So, I don't want you to think that I'm trying to be prideful. I'm just reading what the scripture says. I want to tell you, though, why I feel like this sometimes. It says this in Ezekiel 33. As for you, son of man, your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, say to one another, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths they act. Their heart is set on their gain. And behold, you are like one, and behold, you are to them like one who sings lustful songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear what you say, but they will not do it. When this comes, and come it will, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Now, I'm not calling myself a prophet. It's up to God to call me whatever he calls me. I just know he's called me to be a preacher. And then a pastor, probably in that order, and I'm not sure I even do the pastoring thing as well as I should. Most times I feel like I don't. But I'm telling you, I feel like sometimes you preach and people don't listen, or they don't want to hear what you have to say. Well, Zedekiah wanted to hear him, but he didn't want to do what he said. And Jeremiah suffered, but he didn't suffer so long, because there was something in Zedekiah that said, no, I need to preserve this guy. Somehow God orchestrated the whole thing, that he still got bread. Even when the whole city was running out of bread, Jeremiah still got fed. So I need somebody to volunteer to pray that even though it's crazy, even though it doesn't make sense, that Christian families in the world are going to be supported. Imagine, you know how it is when, imagine government workers being out of work for so long. And praise the Lord, there are some government workers who have some money in the bank account, or they have more than one income coming into the family. Imagine a government worker who's working, and it's their only income, and they're kind of living check to check. I don't know. Maybe there's people out there like that. Well, that could be a tough thing. Well, now imagine, what if a country says, if you don't accept Islam, or if you don't pay a certain tax, you'll lose your job. You'll leave this city and have to go forage in the wilderness or whatever. You'll lose your privileges. You'll lose your insurance, your whatever it is. You'll lose it if you're a Christian. What if all of a sudden somebody in China in a house church, the husband, who is the breadwinner of the family, and they have eight mouths to feed because maybe mom and dad are living there with him too, because family in other countries, they take care of extended family a little better than we do sometimes. But still, you got one breadwinner, and all of a sudden he's taken off to jail, and who knows when he'll be back. I want somebody to volunteer to pray for there to be bread dropped off at their door. For somebody to have sustenance. For somebody to put oil in their tank if it's winter time and they're in some place where they really need some heating, but all of a sudden the breadwinner's gone. Or maybe somebody in prison that just forgotten, and what they have to eat is something that just has water and maybe some mouse junk in it. Can somebody pray for physically sustenance for the persecuted church today? Is there a volunteer for somebody to pray for physical sustenance for the persecuted church? That they would get what they need to eat and drink. Thank you, Carol.
Lord, we know how you provided fish and loaves of bread for millions, for thousands of people. And God, you can do the same thing for those poor people that have no means of sustenance. The Voice of the Martyrs does provide for them when they find out about it, and that helps a lot. And we thank you and praise you for them. Help them, dear Lord, to remain faithful to their faith no matter what they have to suffer. Help the children to not grow bitter or angry, and help the children to have the same level of dedication that their parents have, and to stay firm in their faith no matter what. We love you, dear Jesus. Help all the world to love you too. Amen.
Thank you. I think God loves hearing the variety of your voices today, so praise the Lord for that. Jeremiah 38:4-13. Then the officials said to the king, "Let this man be put to death, for he is weakening the hands of the soldiers who are left in this city, and the hands of all the people by speaking such words to them. For this man is not seeking the welfare of this people, but their harm." King Zedekiah said, "Behold, he is in your hands, for the king can do nothing against you." So they took Jeremiah and cast him into the cistern of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the guard, letting Jeremiah down by ropes. And there was no water in the cistern, but only mud. And Jeremiah sank in the mud. Think about that. That song we sing sometimes at church. "He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog." We go on with verse 7. When Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, a eunuch who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah into the cistern, the king was sitting in the Benjamin gate. Ebed-Melech went from the king's house and said to the king, "My lord, the king, these men have done evil in all that they did to Jeremiah the prophet by casting him into the cistern. And he will die there of hunger, for there is no bread left in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, "Take 30 men with you from here, and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the cistern before he dies." So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went to the house of the king, to a wardrobe in the storehouse, and took from there old rags and worn out clothes, which he let down to Jeremiah in the cistern by ropes. Then Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, "Put the rags and clothes between your armpits and the ropes." Jeremiah did so. Then they drew Jeremiah up with ropes and lifted him up, and lifted him out of the cistern, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the guard. So they needed some strength to get him out of there. It was probably a place that really sucked him in. And he was suffering. And somebody who actually had access to the king. People believe this is a black man who had access to the king, who could speak boldly to the king, and was listened to. And they got enough men to draw him up, and maybe they needed enough men also too, because this was unpatriotic what they thought Jeremiah was doing. People wanted to kill him for it. And so there might have been some people who wanted him down there. Maybe even they were watching to keep him down there. Maybe watching to see him die, just like some people watch an eagle on a video cam. So they're bringing Jeremiah out. So I need somebody to pray for the persecuted church that people would experience miraculous release from prison. And even because somebody higher up
Somebody who has access, somebody who the Lord is tugging at their heart, even pulls some strings and says, this is not right, set this person free, and all of a sudden, the gates fly open. Or maybe that God would even do something like he did with freeing Peter from prison. And all of a sudden, it just happens. Can somebody pray for the persecuted church, that people who are in prison and people who are in places that feel like prison can get miraculous release? Would somebody pray for that? Need a volunteer? For people to be released. People to be saved.
What was the question?
For people to be saved out of prison, or a place that feels like prison. A place where they feel like kind of locked down under in a pit. And I think that place he was in is kind of, it's the pits. It was the, and somebody who will like rescue them. And it might even be in the political system, somebody actually can say the right word that somebody actually gets freedom. Okay, thank you very much. So he'll bring the mic to you, and just take your time. Your first prayer today was beautiful, and so
I'm not praying in Spanish.
You're gonna pray in Spanish? Okay.
Yeah,
and then translate in English. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Padre, yo te pido gracias por este hermoso día, mi Dios, por las oraciones que ahorita estamos haciendo delante de ti, mi Dios. Tú ves nuestro corazón por el interior, mi Dios. Tú nos ves por fuera, mi Dios. Ahorita hay muchas familias, señores, adultos, niños, que están en la cárcel, mi Dios. Se han sentido solitos, mi Dios, muy angustiados, mi Dios. Pero tú sabes que ellos tienen una oportunidad de conocerte, mi Dios. Tenemos oportunidades, mi Dios, de todavía salvar almas, mi Dios. Yo oro por los que ahorita están pasando tormentas en las cárceles, mi Dios, para que tú lo puedas ver y que sean llamados ante ti, mi Dios, porque nadie es perfecto en esta tierra, mi Dios, para que podamos proclamarlos, mi Dios, y para que tú lo puedas usar, mi Dios. Yo sé que ahorita estamos en un tiempo de tormentas, mi Dios. Estos años no han sido como los de antes, mi Dios, pero el punto de aquí es, mi Dios, que tú sigas bendiciendo cada uno de nosotros, mi Dios. Porque no es fácil buscar la salida, mi Dios, porque siempre van a venir pruebas en nuestra familia, mi Dios. Y yo oro para que todos los que están en la cárcel, mi Dios, o se han sentido solos, mi Dios, que tú toques sus corazones, mi Dios, y para que ellos puedan ver su familia una vez más, mi Dios. God, thank you for everything, God. I pray for all the people that are in the prison, God. I know you are with them, God. They're not by themselves. They feel alone, God. I know you're touching your heart, God. I want the people, like, they make a lot of mistakes so they can see the family one more time to repent, to give your heart, to give yourself to you, God, because you're the way, you're the truth, you're the life, God. So you want, I pray so you can touch them, everybody who is in jail right now, because it's not easy to make a sinner. Because we're not perfect in this earth, but I pray so you can touch the heart, God, because you're the only way, God. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. God bless the persecuted church. Amen.